Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show, a podcast about news, information, pop culture, technology, the intelligence community, elections, really whatever we want to talk about. I am your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, my favorite co-host of all, no co-host, but I do have a guest who is my co-host on another podcast. Andy Sell is here.
Yeah.
We should be that kind of podcast. Let's just do an aggressive bro episode. Say, yeah. Let's go.
Yo, what the fuck is up, everybody? You don't even like this shit. What's up?
Just use the F word a bunch like it's 2003. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hey, 2003, we could use the F slur.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, there have been a lot of movies that I thought I found very funny from the early 2000s, and going back and watching them, no, I apparently just thought being gay was funny, because that's all the jokes in a lot of those fucking movies.
That was most comedies, I think, of that time period was just like, hey, look, a gay person, ha, or hey, look, a fat person, ha.
Yep, that was a whole lot of it. Like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Man, I used to love that movie. And I went and rewatched it. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's one that bothered me in the theater. You know what else? Wedding Crashers. I walked out of Wedding Crashers like 3/4 of the way for the movie. I was so mad at it. And now I feel vindicated.
Yeah. I don't really remember. I mean, I remember Wedding Crashers, but not the problematic parts. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Also, I don't have a right to talk. I've seen Cannibal Holocaust more than once, so.
Yeah, there's some issues around that film, I've heard.
Just a little bit.
Some problems on the set, perhaps. So we're doing another local news roundup. I mean, it was either this or Trump, and I need a break.
We're going to have plenty of time to talk about him in the future.
Yeah. When he's our next president, probably.
My God. Our final president.
Yeah, we'll talk about Project 2025 on an upcoming episode. That's a scary fucking document if people haven't read it, which you could be forgiven if you haven't. It's 900 pages long, but it is the Heritage Foundation's plan for totalitarianism.
The Fourth Reich. Basically,
stalling of a dictator in the United States. It's great. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great time.
I just want to say this, but I know we're not going to get into that. We're not going to talk about it. But if you hear that thing about Project 2025, if you hear what Adam just said and you're like, oh, well, that means we have to vote for Biden. I'm sorry. That ship has sailed. Don't be bullying people about how they vote online, because there's no fixing that.
Yeah, there needs to be a better alternative to Trump. It's not even a matter of, I got accused of telling people not to vote on the last episode when I was really just expressing my frustration over our choices.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you can look at the current crop of candidates and be like, yes, there's a very good choice here. I do think Trump is the worst option.
Yeah.
Of the three. And I think the thing that would sway me in regards to Trump versus Biden, like Israel, you're right. That ship has fucking sailed.
Yeah, there's no.
And see, that's the thing. Trump, he's already made it clear it'll be worse under him. Yeah. So
the only thing is
this Project 2025 document. Just read what it says about trans people. Talk about an impending fucking genocide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read what it says about trans people. That part makes Trump the worst option in my mind. But
I just think we're at a point where there's no, we have two wildly unpopular candidates that are running. You know, the Democratic Party is not going to do what they should do and run someone that's not Joe Biden. They're not going to. And Joe Biden has made it abundantly clear that he's not going to halt any of the Republican agendas. He's not going to stand in the way of Project 2025, whether or not, you know, it's more than ever, I think, at least in my lifetime, it has become clear that electoralism is not going to save us from fascism. No matter how you vote in this upcoming election, the infrastructure is set. The table has been set. The game is rigged. There is no fighting this in the ballot. It's just not. It's not. We have to start doing other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote. But also, you want me to vote for Joe Biden? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. It's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
God. No,
I this is why.
This is how last week's episode went, and it's why I didn't want to talk about the election.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What do you do? What do you fucking do? I'm not going to vote for goddamn Trump. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I don't want Vice President Aaron Rodgers, because here's the thing. Even if Rodgers doesn't get the VP pick, you know he's getting a cabinet position. He's going to be Secretary of Health.
Oh, yeah, man. That's fourth quarter Aaron, dude.
Ugh. I hate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about local news in this week's episode. And here's the thing. It's not like we've got a ton of upbeat stuff on the local news roundup this time around. We do have this first story, though. It's about Chicago organized crime, which is a thing. I don't know. It feels like organized crime is not what it used to be. I feel like the government has done a good job kind of taking down organized crime.
Or integrating it into its own model, you know? I feel like the organized criminals are, you know, they're all in government now.
Right. Which is the smarter move, obviously. But some of them are still out there fucking around on the streets. Yeah. Chicago always gets a spot in the local news roundup for obvious reasons. It's because Chicago is crazy. And this won't be the only time Chicago comes up, but this first Chicago story I want to talk about, it is the recent extortion trial of Addison businessman Gino Cassano.
Had to reach deep for that nickname.
Yeah, exactly. Right out of the gate. Steve Cassano. He's part of an outfit called the Chicago Outfit. Undeniably cool name.
Yeah, yeah.
The White Sox should change their name to the Chicago Outfit. That would be so dope.
This should be like in at the end of My Blue Heaven, where that little league team has double-breasted suit jackets for their jerseys.
I don't know if I've seen that. What movie is it?
My Blue Heaven. I think of the two movies based on the life of the real guy behind Goodfellas, I think it's the better movie.
Oh, sure.
I like Rick Moranis.
I have not seen it. It's Rick Moranis? I mean, I'll watch anything with Rick Moranis in it.
Rick Moranis, Steve Martin, Joan Cusack?
Probably.
I believe. Possibly sure. Penelope Ann Miller, or maybe, I don't know. I think I just confused it with Carlito's Way.
Now, that was a movie I liked.
That movie rules.
So the first weird thing about this trial is that even though it stems from an FBI investigation into organized crime in Chicago and the outfit specifically, which is like the name for the Chicago version of the Italian mob. They're called the Outfit. They're called the Chicago Syndicate, Chicago Mafia. But Chicago Outfit, come on, that's good. And prosecutors were barred from using the words organized crime in court.
Yeah.
Which I can't wrap my head around how that development.
How do you Like, that's the lawyer. Whatever lawyer did that, king of lawyers. How do you do yeah. This is a case about organized crime, but you can't say organized crime in the case. That's
And it's like, it's hugely important also, because as you dig into the details of this crime, it's really just an assault. They punched a guy in Cassano's garage, him and an associate named Joseph Joe Gags Galliano.
Joey Gags. Does he have a joy buzzer? Does he put whoopee cushions under people's seats?
Probably.
He sounds fun. Did he punch him?
It's just like, hey, I got to live up to my nickname here.
Did he punch the guy with a boxing glove that popped out of a gun?
Yeah. And it's essentially without the organized crime ties. It's just Joe Gags punching a dude in the face in a garage 8 years ago. And the government being like, federal crime. And that's exactly the lawyer's argument here, is they're like, the government is trying to take a fracas, a melee in a garage 8 years ago. Turn it into a federal crime.
What started the fight? Were they arguing about Lou Malnati's versus Geno's?
Ooh, I mean, let's get it out in the open.
Lou Malnati's.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, hands down.
Oh, you know you can get that delivered now.
Yeah, they ship it in dry ice. I need to do that.
Yeah, we did it about a year ago, and it's nice. It's nice having a Lou Malnati's on stock in the freezer.
Heard that Pequod's is doing it too, and I'm a big Pequod's fan, so
yeah, the Lou Malnati's. Oof.
So that anyway, sausage back. Deep dish, yeah,
I get it every time I'm in Chicago. I fuck with a Lou Malnati's.
You have to,
you gotta,
yeah.
And they had one where I grew up too, which rare, very rare. They have one in Peoria, yeah. So, yeah, you can't mention organized crime in this trial, it is clearly about organized crime. And the other thing about it, the names, we've already talked about Joe Gags. I looked into some of the other cases surrounding this, because this was a huge investigation conducted by the FBI that did result in a few other cases. And some of the names from those cases, Marco the Mover D'Amico, Madam Priscilla Bell.
Okay. Now that's just a character from Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Joseph the Clown Lombardo, Frank the German Schweiss, Frank Gumba Saladino, and Paul the Indian Shiro.
Okay, Paul. And somehow, it's Paul the Native American, please.
Exactly. Paul is canceled.
Yeah, we need Paul to change his mascot.
Somehow, despite those names, no connections to the mob have been made in this case or in a previous case involving Madam Priscilla Bell, who does have a real name, but who cares?
Now, yeah, I don't want to endorse profiling necessarily, especially, you know, when we're talking about Italian Americans and, you know, what people choose to call themselves nickname wise. But I mean, come on. This is like my defendants, sneezy, bashful, doc, dopey. They all insist that we cannot mention Snow White at this trial.
I can't imagine how they got that win in court. I mean, it is Chicago we're talking about. They may have just paid somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's Chicago, so it's because of corruption is the answer.
And something else that happened as a result of the Madam Priscilla Bell trial, because Madam implies exactly what it implies. She was running a brothel. And when she was arrested and finally charged, she broke the news that she had a book of about 9,000 client names from the Chicago area. And it was all really powerful businessmen, cops, government employees, and somehow nothing has come out about who exactly is in that book.
Ah, gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
It couldn't have anything to do with that. It couldn't. There's no need to bring up Epstein or Mossad or anything in this comparison here. With a name like Madam, she's either running a brothel or she's a fortune teller. It's one of the two.
Probably a crime either way.
Yeah. Yeah, the age-old tale of men in power love to have weird sex things, and they don't want anyone to know what those are.
Yeah, I don't know how, no matter how powerful you are, if you're partaking in the services of someone like Madame Priscilla Bell, you gotta know that there's someone in the room writing that shit down.
Yeah, yeah, you're not, there is a camera on you.
Yeah.
If you're a person in power in a brothel that is run by someone who runs a brothel for people in power, they got some footage of you, my friend.
If you're running a brothel, an expensive one that caters to people like this, if you're not collecting blackmail material, you are just leaving money on the table.
Yeah, you're not playing the game. You're not on your grind set. You're not hustling.
Exactly. So good for her.
Yeah. Good. Hey, she's just a woman entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with a lady boss at all.
No.
As for this trial, it ended in a mistrial after a detective on the witness stand slipped up and uttered the words organized crime.
I thought you were going to say Joey Gags put a banana peel on the-
It is crazy, though. This guy just said the words organized crime. If I recall correctly, I didn't put the specifics in the notes, but I do believe he was an FBI agent. And they asked the nature of one of the investigations he was working on. And he replied that it was an investigation into organized crime. And the room apparently exploded.
That lawyer's got to feel like when they tricked Rumpelstiltskin into saying his name, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking, oh, gotcha. Oh, gotcha.
And yeah, immediately, the lawyers for the defense immediately objected. The judge was like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're done for the day. And then the next morning declared a mistrial because the jury had been poisoned by the utterance of the phrase organized crime in the case of Joe Gags.
Again,
a guy who owed him $10,000 in 2016.
I am loath to ever side with cops or feds, but fucking how? Like, oh, it's so, this person who investigates organized crime said the word organized crime at this organized crime trial. How prejudicial.
Yeah. And hey, why don't you want them to say the words organized crime? Is it because this is tied to organized crime?
Could it be because there's organized crime involved?
There's no such thing as organized crime.
Are you going to go on a libertarian philosopher rant?
When I sure
you think
am.
About it, the only organization is nature's order. So crime, which is an inversion of that order, would be disorganized by nature.
I agree.
I don't know what that was. I just finished this 10 milligram sour tangy drink, so that's where that came from.
Oh, did you? I don't know if you had time to read this entire article. It was very long.
No, not yet. I couldn't get it to load.
Oh, yeah. It's a Chicago Tribune article, and there's paywall issues.
I was going to say, I feel like I have to bribe somebody to read the article because it's the Chicago Tribune.
Joey Gags will punch you in the face if you read this article. But there's an extended section in the article where the defense is questioning the guy that Joey Gags punched. And the thing they keep just hammering him about is that he smokes weed every day of his life. So every question is, so when you spoke to FBI agents for the first time, you were high? And they reference Afro Man in the trial. One point, the defense says, oh, so like that song, you forgot to go to court because you got high.
Because you got high. Oh, my God. I want this. I want a movie of this. I want an 8-part miniseries of this trial. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it, in the end, got thrown out. And now they have to decide if they're going to retry them. For the crime of collecting a debt through extortionary means, which feels like when Epstein got charged with soliciting sex from a minor. It's like, oh, that's not even a thing you can do by letter of the law. That's not even how the law works.
Yeah. it's just amazing that the word extortion is in here, but you can't say organized crime. Isn't extortion, is there a way that cannot be organized crime?
Whoa. Not all extortionists are in the mob, Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That is true.
Let's try to be a little more prog on this episode. Short for progressive.
Short progressive? Okay.
Yep. All right. This next story. This makes me so very angry. So angry.
Yeah, this is, if you want something to feel bad about the direction that we're going as a species, here it is.
Yes. This next story, it's actually from January of this year, but it involves a case that will be before the Supreme Court next month. The city of Grants Pass, Oregon, passed a law recently that essentially makes being homeless illegal. They passed 5 ordinances that include anti-sleeping and anti-camping laws that result in fines of hundreds of dollars for a first offense. With enough violations, an offender can be banned from all city properties. And if you come back after that, it turns into a criminal trespassing offense. But of course, the city did provide a place for those impacted by these laws with an alternative place to go, except JK. No, they didn't. And that's why this got thrown out in court, which that's good, at least for now.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's going to the Supreme Court in April because
we've had similar laws, right? LA passed stuff like this. Florida recently had some, you know, basically criminalizing homelessness.
Yeah. And the Florida law adds a little tweak where they're going to set up these tent cities. And
great.
If you refuse to live on the tent city, then you're also trespassing if you go where people who can afford shelter live. Which on the one hand, I know people would hear that and go, oh, good. Well, they're providing an alternative. That's great. But no, because these tent cities are going to be way, way, way out of town, which if you're trying to rebuild your life and get a job and integrate back into society, you kind of need to be close to the city to do. So they're going to be underused for one thing. And also, that feels like putting homeless people in homeless jail.
Yeah. Well, there's these, Denver did this. Some other places have done it with these little tiny, you know, shacks. They're basically Hoovervilles. These small houses constructed for, you know, temporary housing. But the thing is they're not really meant to be temporary. It's like, because people aren't being given any other resources, you know, to move on from that situation. And we're fucked. Just like the homelessness has skyrocketed in this country. Minnesota, where I live, I believe Hennepin County even is the only county in the country that has a right to shelter law in place. So that a shelter has to provide you with a place if you ask. And I don't think there's any other place in the country where that's the case.
Good thing it's only cold in Minneapolis.
Yeah, right? It is literally snowing right now for the first time in, it snowed twice this week, but it's everything's a nightmare.
Well, I mean, global warming's not, so.
No, it's not real. This is just a fluke. It's just, you know, it's just one of those summers. Yeah. One of those springs, one of those winters, I mean. Yeah. What season is it? I can't tell. Everything's on fire.
Sure is. This Grants Pass law, it went to court because 2 people filed a lawsuit claiming that this was cruel and unusual punishment, which, sure is.
Absolutely.
And an appeals court ruled in the plaintiff's favor and basically said if Grants Pass isn't going to give people somewhere else to go, then they can't tell people they aren't allowed to sleep outside on public land. So now the Supreme Court has agreed to hear an appeal on that ruling. How are we feeling about the Supreme Court doing the right thing here?
I gotta say, not terrific. Oddly, call it a hunch. Call it like when I'm picking, I don't know, an upset on my bracket. You know, it's not really, I can't really quantify or point to any reasons why I would feel that way about it. But, you know, it's just a weird gut feeling.
I just picked Duke over Ohio State in the women's tournament. Big upset. Picked it because the coach gave a very inspiring speech on an episode of College Game Day. And I was like, they're going to rally around her, I bet. Sure enough, they won. So, yeah, well, you never know. You never know.
You never know. So maybe the Supreme Court will bust some brackets here.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I feel like they're not going to.
Nah, not with Caitlin Clark on the bench.
It's, get it, everybody? The bench.
The bench, because of the
Supreme Court.
The court.
Caitlin Clark is a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, yeah. So Caitlin Clark Ginsburg.
Yeah, yeah. She was appointed by Pat Summitt. Ooh, deep women's basketball references for everybody. You're welcome, you sporting audience of mine. So yeah, this could be very bad or it could be very good. If the Supreme Court rules the right way and says, no, you can't criminalize not having enough money to pay for shelter, then it's going to make it hard to put these laws in place all over the country.
Yeah. But
if the Supreme Court rules in Grant's pass Oregon's favor, look out. This is going to happen all over the place.
Yeah, because this is already the trend, right? No one has a job. You know, all the jobs are going away. So all of the money is going away. All of the eviction protections are going away. So people are just going to get thrown out of their homes when they can't afford rent because they don't have a job. And then they're going to go to prison. And then, you know, we're just going to be a giant prison. This country is just going to be a giant prison with a handful of ultra wealthy hoarders. And everyone else is going to be slave labor. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be that or the purge.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a little escape from New York plus the purge here.
Yeah, that could be. I still think homeless people are top of the list in terms of who's likely to get purged in this country.
I mean, it's pretty much already what's happening. It's just an indirect, passive way. You know, it's casual, you know, violence that you can ignore.
And that's,
you know, starvation.
Yeah. And that's with all due respect to trans people and immigrants. You make the top five also.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, here's the thing. There's crossover. They're just going to make sure that our homeless population is mostly trans people and immigrants.
Yeah. So there you go.
So, you know, hey, diversity in your underclasses.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an important case to watch. I'm fascinated to see how the Supreme Court rules. And we will find out next month. They are looking at it in April. So make a note in your Supreme Court drops calendar.
Yeah, mark your brackets now. I think it's also always important to keep in mind with stuff like this, not to further bum you out, everyone, but you know, it's a slippery slope, just like with everything here, where, you know, it's not, homelessness is criminalized, which means that unhoused people are going to be victim to it, but also people who are housing insecure or, you know, lower tier housing, you know, people who have homes, who pay rent are also going to be just as victimized by these laws as people who are actually unhoused. It's the same way as, you know, the first targets are trans people. And the next thing you know, it's all queer people. So there's also that to consider when you're filling out your brackets.
And again, we are going to do an episode about it. But I do encourage people to track down the Project 2025 document and just read the foreword. That's all you need to read. It's like 15 pages, maybe. And the things they say in that, not just about trans people, but just in general, are terrifying.
It is terrifying. Overt fascism. It is overt theocratic white nationalism.
Yeah, they are going to jettison trans people from society.
Yeah.
That is just a stated goal of theirs, which is terrifying.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, so if you're buying Harry Potter merch, congrats. That's your team.
Yeah. Makes me feel better about having never been into Harry Potter.
Like, yeah. I've seen all of the movies. Who gives a shit? I don't really like any of them. I tried reading the first book. I was 20, so it wasn't for me. I got halfway through and was like, yeah, this is for kids. I don't need this. And then I never really liked it at all. And I feel, you know, obviously this is what's important is my feelings.
Yes.
But I do feel vindicated that I never was a fan.
I saw the first movie in theaters because I went with a friend of mine and he was taking his daughter to go see it. And So I was like, sure, I'll go see Harry Potter with you. And the only thing I remember is that a girl who was maybe 10 to 12 years old tripped and fell while she was walking down the aisle. And my friend just goes, she fucking biffed it. And that's all I remember about the first Harry Potter movie.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, not for me. Not for me. The Hunger Games, though, sign me up. For real and
we're definitely moving that direction, too.
Yeah, I could see it. And I don't know. I wouldn't not tune in. At that point, things are so dystopian. You just got to sort of drink it in and enjoy it. So it's like watching the Olympics. Like, yeah, I know the IOC wreaks havoc all over the globe. But
oh, man,
when am I going to see gymnastics and care about it every 4 years?
There you go. That's a good point.
Thank you. All right, let's talk about this next story. New Orleans is where this is happening. New Orleans strikes me as the kind of place where you want the youth to have something to do with their time. Well, because, Andy, New Orleans has a problem with youth gun violence and youth homicide. In 2023, youth homicides went up 40% in New Orleans. And I know a lot of times you hear that and the percentage sounds scary, and then you get the actual numbers, and it's like, well, there were two in 2022, and there were three in 2023. So this isn't that. There were, I believe, 35 murders of people under the age of 18.
I feel like that's a lot.
That's a high number. That's a very high number. And so one of the ways you mitigate stuff like that is by giving the youth of your locale something positive to do with their time.
I disagree. So, I think you arrest them and persecute them further and make them just scared to do anything.
You could do that too.
Right?
Make sure a lot of you want to impose a really high bail too. Keep them in jail. Just
Once they're in the system, you want to keep them there, you know?
Yeah. 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 So it stands to reason that something like, say, a huge farm that's been operated by the Youngs for the past 12 years, right in the middle of a huge park in New Orleans, would be an undeniably good thing. And it exists. It's called Grodat. It is a 7-acre youth garden inside New Orleans City Park. The farm produces around 50,000 pounds of fresh produce each year. Another undeniably good thing.
That's more than any Midwestern state, probably.
That's a whole lot. And now the city of New Orleans is going to put a fucking road right through the middle of it.
I love that we are still in 2024. We're still just reliving the plot to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington over and over again.
Over and over again. And not to keep hearkening back to it, but Project 2025, one of their pillars is getting Trump believers to move to Washington so they can fill civil service jobs. And they literally call it Mr. and Mrs. Smith going to Washington.
Yeah. And it's, God, that is so the opposite of what that movie. I love how they've taken populism and just made it fascism.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not that it wasn't already. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking what's going on here? We're footloose. We're basically footloosing this farm.
Yeah. The city wants to put a road through City Park, because if there's one hallmark of any great park, it's a street with cars. You want that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So people can get from one end of the park to another easier. And it's like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. I get why you're putting a road in the park, but do you have to put it right through this farm that's been there for? It's mentioned in the article. You don't just get to the point where you're producing 50,000 pounds of produce a year. You don't just get there overnight. You can't just pick this thing up and move it somewhere. You have to do things to the soil. You have to nurture the soil to get it to where it's producing like this. And this road is going to fuck it all up just so people can jog through City Park a little easier.
Also, this is, I'm assuming, a nonprofit behind this, probably some grants, and it's involving kids too. This is the other thing, the red tape and regulation obstacles that you have to go through for any kind of nonprofit organization that is concerning itself with you know, people under the age of 18 is just, there's so much more red tape there. There's so much more to sort through. You can't just pick this up and be like, oh, hey, there's some land over there. Drop it there. It's always a messy, complicated thing with a lot of moving parts. And I can't imagine, it's also hard to get resources for things like that.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns here. When you read the statements people are putting out about it, on the one hand, everything points to, yeah, you can have whatever other space you need in the park to do this again. And then you read further into the statements and it's like, and we hope that will happen. So who knows? Who knows? But I don't know. This sucks. This sucks for these kids. It sucks.
Yeah.
And it sucks for the city of New Orleans, probably. This seems just like an undeniably good thing that you would want to try and preserve. I don't live in New Orleans. I don't have a dog in the fight, I guess, but save Grodat Farms in that name. Come on. That's great.
That's great. That's great.
Grodat.
Grodat. Yeah, no, this is cut and dry.
Yeah. 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 If you're on the side of the city wanting to put a road through this farm, you are the problem.
Yeah. Do better.
I guarantee if we run any number of other issues past you, you will be the problem.
Yeah, I want to see your bracket. Sorry. Good Lord. Yeah, if you're on the side of the road here, you're probably, you know, on the side of the Grants Pass law and, you know, Joey Gags.
Joey Gags not being allowed to be called an organized criminal in court.
He picked Joey Gags over the FBI.
Which,
I mean, organized crime call. That's a buzzer beater.
All right. This next story, infuriating. Lyft is withholding thousands of dollars in payments to immigrant drivers in Chicago.
Sorry, Adam, it sounds like you're about to tell me that an unregulated third-party system invented by tech bros is going to do something negative?
Andy, if you can believe it.
Couldn't be.
That is exactly where this is going. Again, back on our Chicago bullshit.
Our shit is Joey Gags behind it?
Yeah, Joey Gags is probably doing this also. This has to be a thing that's happening elsewhere, though. Lyft drivers in Chicago who are working their way through the legal immigration system, just like everyone wants, they are reporting that Lyft is withholding their wages on account of a mix-up with the IRS. Lyft uses a third-party processor for tax information, and apparently several drivers entered their information and Lyft got what's called a no-match letter from the IRS, which means this person entered information into the system. It doesn't match what we have. Once Lyft got those letters, they just froze the wages of all those drivers. And now none of them have been able to get through to anyone at Lyft to actually fix it. They've just been told to go to Lyft's website to fix it, and it's just not working.
I bet their website is just a nightmare to navigate. I've never been on it, but I imagine it's like one of those, where's the menu?
Yeah, I have known a couple people who had to get in touch with a physical person at Facebook, and you damn near have to file a Freedom of Information Act request to make that happen. They are highly reluctant to talk to people, and I don't doubt that Lyft is very similar. To hear it from these drivers, it seems like that's absolutely the case. And as always, we'll link to all of these articles in the show notes. This one is from the Chicago Sun-Times, and it was published the day we're recording this. So there's not much update in terms of a resolution. But one of the stories they highlight in terms of the people who have been victimized by this, Rogelio Vasquez, he is owed around $7,500 in wages by Lyft. And if you're someone who's driving Lyft to pay your bills, having that much money just up in the air where you can't reach it is some life-altering shit.
Yeah, and depending on how this Supreme Court ruling goes, that's stay out of jail money, potentially.
Correct. Things got so bad for him, he had taken out a loan to buy a car so he could drive Lyft to make money. And Lyft started withholding his wages. And say it with me, everybody, the car got repossessed.
Fuck.
And now he can't work that job. And the worst part, he has contacted the IRS, also not easy to do, got through to a person, and they confirmed that the information he entered was actually correct. This man has been in the country since 1980, so he knows how to file this tax information. He's been here since 1980, working legally. He's not a citizen, but he's paying taxes. He's doing everything the government wants him to do in his situation. And now this.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it.
And yeah, this, it seems like Lyft just made it up.
A little bit. I mean, they got these letters, but it seems like they did what you see from health insurance companies all the time, where if you get a claim denied, they're like, all right, go out and figure out what happened and fix it. Like, they don't help.
I had a problem once where I tried to apply for a health insurance and they came back and they were like, well, you said that you were denying you coverage because you said you've had emphysema on your questionnaire. And I was like, no, I absolutely did not say that I had emphysema. And I even looked back at my form and was like, yeah, it's not on there. So this is a mix up on your end. And they were like, well, that's what we have. So good luck.
Yeah, I would say maybe the most positive development out of the Obama administration was that pre-existing conditions aren't really a thing in health insurance now. Because I worked in health insurance when they were, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
If you had a pre-existing condition like diabetes, anything that they could target that you'd been treated for in the previous 6 months, you could get health insurance, but they would exclude that. So you couldn't be treated for the thing you need health insurance for. Or you could go into what was called a high risk pool. And with a high risk pool, the insurance rates, I think for a single person, were $1,400 a month. So if you were really well off, you could afford insurance as a person who needed it the most.
Yeah.
But you couldn't afford that $1,400. You just didn't have health insurance.
Yeah.
And crazy. So it's good with that.
This is removed. Lyft is, they're messing everything up. We just had a thing in Minneapolis where our city council, much to the chagrin of our dipshit piss baby mayor, our city council said that it was some resolution. It was a fair pay resolution, basically, to force Lyft and Uber to pay an acceptable living, a certain amount. I can't remember what the amount was, but it was an acceptable living wage to their drivers. And Uber and Lyft were like, well, we'll just fucking cease operations in your city then.
Yeah.
And now there's this whole argument about whether or not that's allowed, you know?
Yeah. It's, we have a comedy friend in LA, Ron Swallow.
He's organizing the Ease drivers.
Yeah. And I didn't realize all of that was happening with Ease, which is a weed delivery service that I think must work kind of like DoorDash, where they work with a bunch of different dispensaries in the area. And I used to use it all the time. I stopped because there is a really good weed store near me that's easy to get to. The parking's great. They have great deals. But before that, I used Ease all the time. And it's another tech bro company. By the final season of Silicon Valley, Ease was one of the businesses in that intro. So super duper tech bro company. And yep, they're fucking over their drivers. They just started decreasing their wages. I just saw Ron's thing about it last night.
I saw it a couple of days ago. Yeah. I used to use Ease when I lived in LA, but they kept putting those credits in my account to get me to order stuff. And it was always like, oh shit, that's a good deal. And then I would order stuff and I always tipped really well because I was like, there's no way these guys are getting paid well with this company giving me these $20 credits every time. So, I moved. That's why I stopped using them. But I feel like I was starting to kind of, the last time I used them, I was like, I don't think this is, these don't seem too ethical.
Yeah. And go figure. Go figure.
Yeah.
And yeah, this thing that's happening with Lyft, it is exclusive to them because they have rules in place where you don't even have to have a permanent driver's license yet to drive for Lyft. You can have a temporary driver's license.
Whoa.
And sign up as a Lyft driver. And same deal with work status. Like they don't give a fuck Uber at least requires you to have a permanent valid driver's license. And because of that, they're not mixed up in any of this.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make Uber the good guys. It just makes them the other guys.
Yeah, this is, I think this is a story like many we're discussing today where there is no good guy.
No. I mean, the Lyft drivers.
Yeah. Rogelio Vasquez is, I guess, our good guy. But he has no power in the situation.
Yeah, we could do an entire episode just about all the ways Chicago fucks poor people. It is intense. The one that always comes to mind, I believe it was also the Chicago Sun-Times, did this huge investigative report about parking tickets in Chicago. And wouldn't you know it, they were issuing the most parking tickets in the highest poverty areas. And what they would do is issue these parking tickets to the point that they could take a person's car. They would impound that car, charge them daily for the impound fee. And this is in communities where people absolutely do not have the spare income for that. So eventually they would sell the car at auction and would not apply the money to what those people owed the city. They would just pocket the money, and still those people owed all of those impound fees that they had been charged. And it was happening. It was an epidemic in that city. And I don't know if there was ever any real resolution to it. And it was the city doing it. It wasn't some third party vendor.
Yeah, it wasn't Joey Gags and his buddy who owns a fucking tow company.
Yeah, Chicago's wild.
Jesus, also, this is why I can't root for the Bears anymore.
Also, so many rats. How do we get the name? How did we come up with Bears for our nickname? It should be the Rats.
The Rats, the Chicago Rats.
The Rats. I got to start a sports team. Put it in Chicago.
The Chicago Baby Rats instead of the Cubs. What do you call a baby rat?
Brat.
Chicago Brat. Everybody would be like, Chicago Brat. Will you put mustard on it?
So, yeah, Chicago. Go Bears. All right. Good news if you live near College Park, Maryland. Finally. Finally, you can get pizza at Chick-fil-A. And it looks unappetizing as fuck.
And Andy, it's not just because of the homophobia.
Oh, no. That should have been my guess as to what you were going to say, but I thought you were maybe going to say it looks all right.
Oh, you know what? Let's look at it. I'm going to be honest. I haven't looked at it yet. Let's take a look at this monstrosity.
Because I know you're a fan of a cheeseburger pizza, as am I, but I find pickles on a pizza a bridge too far. I can't do that part. But this does look, and we'll link to it in the show notes, they have pictures of two of the pizzas. Because the other four, it's the pepperoni, sausage and vegetable, whatever. I'm sure those look normal other than the part where they come from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
But this first one, it's called Chick-fil-A Pizza Pie. This is a quote. The classic Chick-fil-A experience on a pizza. This pizza hates gay people. Mozzarella cheese topped with juicy, seasoned to perfection chopped Chick-fil-A nuggets, drizzled with Chick-fil-A sauce, and served with pickles. Gross. For one thing, I don't
served
fuck with the Chick-fil-A.
Served by a weirdly
sauce.
Religious teenager. Sorry, what?
What is Chick-fil-A sauce? I've never had that, but that just makes me think of Thousand Island.
I'm trying to remember. They have a number of sauces because they have their Polynesian sauce, which is like, it's like a sweet and soury kind of thing, but it's more sweet. The Chick-fil-A sauce, I feel like, is just like a mayo and ketchup kind of mixture.
Probably. Their honey barbecue sauce is an absolute delight, and they do not sell it in stores. So fuck them. But this pizza, you like a cheeseburger pizza with pickles on it, right?
I celebrate a lot of weird fast food
abominations.
A cheeseburger pizza, I'm more of a taco pizza fan than a cheeseburger pizza, but I will eat a cheeseburger pizza in a pinch. There's a place near me, Pizza Luce in Minneapolis, that does a number of really interesting, wild pizza decisions, including a Reuben pizza, which is good. But here's my thing. I'm not anti-pickles on pizza. There's a place near me that does a really good pepperoni pickle hot honey pizza that's excellent. And I was against pickles on pizza until I tried that. And then I was like, oh, maybe not. So I don't know if I've had a cheeseburger pizza with pickles on it in a long enough time, recently enough to be able to confidently answer that.
I will say the one time I was on board with pineapple on a pizza, I had a jalapeno pepperoni pineapple pizza. That combo was all right.
Yeah, put spice on a Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah. But pickles on a pizza. I used to fuck with a bacon cheeseburger pizza. And for people who are unfamiliar, it's just regular pizza sauce, which thumbs up right out of the gate. And then it's ground beef and bacon for the meats. And then the cheese is usually a mix of cheddar and mozzarella. So it's a pretty straightforward pizza experience, unless you put the pickles on it. The pickles, I can't do it. And this Chick-fil-A pizza is just riddled.
Yeah, it's a lot of pickles.
It is filthy with pickles. And I know you can pick them off, but pickles are runny. The essence of those pickles is staying.
Oh, yeah.
You can throw them wherever you want.
Pickles leave a reminder.
Yeah. You're going to know there were pickles resting.
Yeah. It's like when somebody who wears a ton of cologne walks through a room.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're out the door, they were there for a while.
Yeah. I was renting an office recently and had kind of a contentious relationship with the people who own the building, and one of them wore so much cologne. And every time I'd get in the elevator, I'd be like, that motherfucker was just here.
Fucking landlord left his ghost in here.
Fucking cologne ghost.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. I think for me, when you talk about a bacon cheeseburger pizza, I don't want to sound like a, basic bacon bro circa 2004.
Sure.
But the magic word there is bacon. I feel like if you put bacon with the cheeseburger pizza, it's infinitely better that way.
Bacon is a very underrated pizza topping.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It is solid on a pizza. There was one place, Fresh Brothers. I don't know if you've ever been to a Fresh Brothers.
Yeah, I know Fresh Brothers. Yeah.
But Fresh Brothers makes a good pizza. And for some reason there, I would always get bacon pizza, bacon and mushrooms. And it's the only place where I ever thought to put bacon on a pizza. Oh, I need a Fresh Bros.
I used to get bacon on my pizzas at the Round Table in South Pasadena. Robert really did the bacon more than I did, but I would have a slice or two of his. But yeah, bacon on a pizza, if you handle it right, it's so good. So good.
But we have one more Chick-fil-A pizza to talk about.
Oh, okay.
The Buffalo Ranch pizza pie. And that was not me pronouncing buffalo weird. They just for some reason omit the A from the
buffalo.
Word buffalo. I don't know if it's because it reminds them of atheists or something, but for some reason no A's at Chick-fil-A, even though it ends with an A.
Well, I think it's because if you're pronouncing the Chick-fil-A name, that's a long A, right? That's a it's not a schwa, it's like a Chick-fil-A. And I feel like by that precedent, they can't put an A in something and expect you to pronounce it the way you would normally pronounce an A. Chick-fil-A has their own language developed here, apparently.
Are they not allowed to write the letter A if it's not hyphenated off by itself?
I think they were sued by Deion Sanders and University of Colorado.
This pizza, mozzarella cheese topped with, I'll have you know, seasoned to perfection, sliced Chick-fil-A nuggets, buffalo sauce, and a creamy house-made ranch dressing drizzle. And a dusting of zesty lemon pepper seasoning? I don't like pizza that doesn't have red sauce on it. I'm very conservative in that way.
You're a pizza traditionalist.
Only thing where I lean, the only way I lean conservative. That's not a pizza. I know pizza. My generation knew pizza. Your flatbread is not a pizza. So I'm opposed to this just in general.
I love your staunch Republican pizza ideals. I'm a classic. I love a good classic pepperoni and mushroom, red sauce, mozzarella cheese pizza, just a regular good old-fashioned missionary position pizza. But I also do celebrate bolder pizza choices. And I've had a Crab Rangoon pizza that was amazing. Wow. I like a good Oktoberfest pizza with knockwurst and a mustard sauce.
Oh, no. No, thank you.
I like a good white sauce, too, on a pizza. A pesto pizza.
I will take tomatoes in place of pizza sauce. I don't mind that. I don't mind a margarita pizza.
Like a margarita, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get, yeah. Where you lose me on this Buffalo Ranch Chick-fil-A pizza is chicken nuggets. Shredded chicken or get the fuck out. If you're putting chicken on a pizza, the only acceptable chicken on a pizza for me is shredded chicken. You're doing this deep fried nuggets, slicing them up. No, pass.
Yeah, because also when you, if you're putting chicken on a pizza, even though you know it's not true, somewhere in the back of your head, you're like, this is healthier than regular pizza. It's like, no, not really.
Well, and if it's a nugget, it definitely, it tells you this isn't healthier.
If it's a deep fried nugget, you get none of that satisfaction.
Yeah.
Feeling like, oh, this is a heart healthy pizza. This
it's just
fine.
Frying something and then putting it on a pizza to bake on a pizza is overkill. It's redundant. It's already cooked. You don't need, like, the fried thing is the thing. You don't need breading on something you're going to put on a pizza. It's going to dry out. Yeah. It's just not, no. Pass.
Or do you think interested. They? Do you think they put them on last? Which would also be insane.
I mean, it's then it's just you're just putting shit. It's like when you go to a pizza by the slice place, and all they do is they take a pre-hard-baked cheese pizza. They just glove a hand, put it in whatever topping you ordered, just sprinkle it on and put it through the oven to rewarm it up. And then you get it and all the toppings fall off. If you're doing that, you're doing it wrong. And that's what you're doing if you're just putting the chicken nuggets on top. I'll eat a Buffalo Ranch chicken pizza if it's shredded chicken. I've had a good Buffalo Ranch chicken pizza. I don't even mind the lemon zest dusting, which is a new thing for me.
It's got to add something to it if they're doing it.
Yeah.
Because that's a bold choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that lemon pepper and buffalo wings are a thing, but those are two different types of wings.
Yeah, you don't ever order a buffalo style buffalo sauce wings with lemon pepper. Like, that's no.
Though I will add, Papa John's recently introduced a spicy lemon pepper wing.
Mm.
And it's like, it's a wet, dark red sauce.
Hmm.
But it tastes like spicy lemon pepper. And it's not bad.
That's interesting. But
I'm not fucking with Chick-fil-A pizza. I mean, for one thing, man, you got to be in College Park, Maryland by their test kitchen, which also has a name. I forgot. What is the name of the Little Blue Menu? The name of the Chick-fil-A test kitchen. So don't be fooled. If you're eating at Little Blue Menu, you're eating at Chick-fil-A.
I thought it was going to be called the, Ronald Reagan test kitchen. Yeah, that's ultimately my thing here is like, don't go to Chick-fil-A, There's better chicken sandwiches. There's certainly better pizza. Don't let Chick-fil-A get you with this, like, we're Chick-fil-A, but we're doing pizza now. Fuck you. I see what you're trying to do.
I'm still pro Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich over the rest of the field. They did it first, and I think they still do it the best. It's so good.
I think I like the Popeyes more than you do, and I really love the, as much as I hate to admit this, the KFC chicken sandwich is really good.
I didn't like it.
No?
I tried it.
Oh, I loved it.
You know what's trash? Absolute trash. Those new Popeyes wings, they have one called Signature Spicy, and they are gross. They are fucking gross. Whatever signature ingredient they put in them, they're fucking nasty.
I have to tell you, I've been wanting to order the Popeyes wings for a while, but every time I get there, I'm like, I don't know if I trust them. Wings, I don't know why. Fast food wings just seems like, nah, don't do it. If you're getting wings from a drive-thru that's not a wing place, I just can't do it.
I will vouch for the ghost pepper wings.
Okay.
Because those are a lot like a thing KFC used to have, which was hot wings, but they were just fried chicken. Mm. And the spice was in the marinade that they brine the chicken in before they fried it. And those ghost pepper wings are a lot like those. It's just a tradish chicken wing with regular breading, but it's just got a little spicy kick to it. And it's pretty good.
Maybe I'll give that a shot.
Those are worth it.
Yeah, I just think their fish sandwich is good too, by the way. I finally had their fish sandwich.
Yes. And Popeye's fish
sandwich. It's really, really good. Yeah. But fuck Chick-fil-A. There's better chicken sandwiches out there. And, you're not doing any of the pizza that I want. So I'm going to get pizza somewhere else and not support your shitty, awful, evil company. And that's all I need to, you know.
Yeah. And also, I know I've been pro pepperoni on most of this segment, but, and you know, Chick-fil-A would hate that. You know what I mean? But yeah, all their other pizzas are just pepperoni. And I'm actually not a big pepperoni guy. I go sausage mushroom sometimes, just extra mushrooms, no meats at all. I'm a big fan of that.
I like a good veggie pizza.
The last time I got experimental, I ordered a wild boar pepperoni pizza from a place close to me. It's like their pride and joy. It is their calling card. They're like, you can't believe how we are solving the wild boar problem. You're going to eat them on your pizzas. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a novel thing to do at this Super Bowl party. I think it was a Super Bowl. I'm going to order a wild boar pepperoni pizza. Ruin the Super Bowl for me. It was the worst. It was so bad.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so gamey.
Ugh. Yeah.
It was bad. And I feel like if you're ordering something like that, deep down, you know it's not as good as regular pizza, but it's your personality. That's how you show people you're cool. Yeah. Oh, no, I prefer a wild boar pepperoni. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No one does.
No one does. Have you tasted regular pepperoni? Far superior. It's because it comes from a better pig with feelings and thoughts. One of these wild goddamn animals out there eating garbage in your parks, dragging Shakira into the woods and stealing her purse. That happened to Shakira. Look it up.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
She got robbed by a team of wild boars at one point. Very interesting.
Wow.
So speaking of interesting, this last story, I don't know how to feel about this. Golfers.
Again, no good, guys.
Let's close with some local LA news. Five LA-based golfers have filed a class action lawsuit against the city, alleging that officials have failed to do enough to stop the bustling black market tee time industry. What?
Yeah, this is, I don't know what any of that means, but I can tell you this. It means that golfers need to find real problems.
Well, it is pretty wild what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, LA has all these public golf courses, which if you don't have country club money, if you can't go golf at the Trump place in Rancho Palos Verdes, then you go to one of these public courses like a chump.
Hey.
And for like $20 to $25, I think you can book tee times and play on a public course with the rest of the riffraff. But what's been happening, and apparently this has been happening for years, there have been brokers who, as soon as these tee times are announced, they go in and book all of them up and then resell them, which that alone, one, brilliant. That is brilliant. As long as a loophole like that is open, someone's going to fucking exploit it.
Yeah.
Anything that can be bought can be resold. And it also seems like such an easy thing to fix. I wonder if it's because it's city resources that complicates it and there's maybe more red tape to fix it. But that part alone is pretty crazy. But what happened recently, for years and years and years, people suspected there was something happening with golf tee times. And now recently, a golf influencer, of course.
Jesus Christ. I want off.
He figured out that brokers were basically snatching up these tee times and reselling them. And even more interesting, the only way to contact the person who was selling them was through a Korean messaging app called Kakao, K-A-K-A-O.
Kakao? Kakao?
There's probably a number of ways to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of those cases where me trying to pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced is just going to sound like I'm Jerry Lewis in the 60s or something, doing Asian impressions.
From the little I know about the Korean language, I would imagine it might be pronounced Kakao.
Yeah. Who knows?
But again, but, I am not a fucking expert.
You're not?
No, believe it or not.
Andy, I booked you on this episode because of your expertise in Korean messaging.
I can count to 10 in Korean. Hana, dul, set, net, dasit, yasit, ilgo, aho. I forgot the others.
Was one of them
aho? It's spelled A-H-O-P, I believe, in the English version of Hangul.
No clue.
Anyway, I'm so sorry.
I do have a favorite Korean messaging app, and that is Katalk.
What is that?
It's called Katalk, I think.
Oh,
and that, Katalk. That's what. Are you weighing in from the other room? Oh, it's the same app.
Oh.
No. I see. Yeah, secret. My wife is Korean, so she's fuming in the other room.
I said so many numbers wrong.
Details wrong. So fucking angry. And so, yeah, you had to go on this app. And it's basically what it seems like is Korean brokers mostly selling tea times to Korean customers, which is going to be a problem when you're dealing with a public course. Because don't get me wrong, it's not like there aren't golf courses out there where they're like, oh, you're Korean? No, thank you. We've been all white for about 90
years. Are you trying to suggest that there's racial discrimination in the world of golf and establishments that facilitate golf?
I would never, never claim that there's racism in golf. It seems like the most on the up and up sport possible.
I'll have you know, Tiger Woods played golf.
Aren't there still clubs that they play PGA events at that still don't allow women? I'm pretty sure.
I mean, of course, probably, yeah.
Unless it changed recently. But yeah, these are public courses. And so everyone should have the right to use them. But because these brokers have been doing this for so many years, it's impossible to get tee times in LA, apparently. And I had no idea. I know this has been happening for years, and it's just now all of a sudden, because this person figured it out. And the way influencer. They figured it out, well, the way they figured it out, it wasn't even him. He just had a big enough platform to put the information out. But a friend of his eventually just went to one of these courses and was like, how are you getting these tee times? No one I know can get tee times ever. How are you getting them? And loose lips sink ships, baby. Someone talked and showed him the broker, gave him the contact information for the broker, probably thinking, oh yeah, I feel for you, man. Here's your connect to get yourself some tee times. Meanwhile, that broker's going to murder that guy someday.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do we think organized crime might be involved here, or am I not allowed to say that word in this case?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Because this is a big operation.
I don't know.
A lot of golf courses.
Who's ever heard of a Korean mob? There's no such thing.
No. And so now, class action lawsuit time. Because once this news became public, the city of LA was like, all right, yeah, we'll do something about it. But that was days ago. And we don't have days to wait. So now a lawsuit has been filed. The golfers behind the lawsuit are all part of a Korean golf group called SoCal Dream Golf, which in and of itself also sounds like an organized crime front of some sort. Who knows? But they have a really interesting point. There is a card you can get from the city called a player's card. And members of the general public can book tee times 7 days in advance. But if you have this player's card, you can book them 9 days in advance. And the point of this lawsuit is that by allowing this black market to exist, you're basically selling us a product that you know is worthless. And now we want refunds for all the money we've spent on these player's cards. And it seems like not that much because this card is $25 a year. But the city apparently makes around $600,000 a year on these players' cards. And one of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit has emails and texts showing that he sent the city not just tipping them off that this broker was out there. He gave them their contact information and was like, this is who's doing it. Please do something. And he did that in 2021.
Oh.
And now that it's in the news, the city's like, oh, yeah. We'll definitely do something. And the point of this lawsuit is, nah, you should have done something.
Yeah.
2021.
That's interesting that, you know, you said when you started talking about this story, you brought up the, I don't know why this black market is being allowed to, because it's, maybe it's because it's municipality and there's red tape. It also could be probably as simple as, yeah, it falls under a city worker's job, but they probably have other shit to worry about. They probably saw this and were like, golf? I don't care. I work for the city. I've got real things to deal with. And then, you know, the minute they come back with this $600,000 figure, it's, oh, that's like my, me and two other people's salaries. So maybe I should actually do this now. That's smart, I think, to make it about that.
Yeah, I am interested to see what develops here. I am legitimately concerned for the safety of the golfer who tipped this fucking influencer off.
Ah, man, he better watch out for the Korean equivalent of Joey Gags is coming for him.
Yeah, the people doing this were probably making pretty decent money, because it seems like they weren't just buying up tee times and reselling them. It seems like they were selling most of them. It's not like they have a stockpile of unused tee times in their garage that they couldn't sell. So it was probably pretty lucrative.
These tee types fell off a truck.
So, yeah, I would not want to be the person who ratted them out, essentially, because this seems like something that kind of spread by word of mouth, just the existence of this. And guess what else is going to spread by word of mouth? The person who told.
Yeah.
We got to keep them safe.
Protect them, golf community. SoCal Dream Golf. Arm the SoCal Dream Golf.
So I think that's our episode. We did it. Wild. That's all the local news happening in the country except for college basketball news.
Yeah, that's really, we covered all of it except for, and to be honest, we covered a fair amount of that too. So
yeah, we talked about some college basketball. I'm in a very small bracket group with Jeff May and Kim Crawl, and I'm winning so far. A women's NCAA tournament bracket group.
Oh, my men's bracket is probably, like most people's, just completely devastated.
I didn't do a men's bracket. I only did a women's bracket because Kim wanted to do one. She's somehow never done March Madness brackets before. But I find them, I feel like they make watching March Madness less enjoyable.
Thank you. I'm that same way. And it's also why I don't do fantasy football, because it makes the game stressful for me. Probably it pulls my allegiances in weird directions. And I did the March Madness, the women's bracket is the one I'm invested in this year, because I get to put Iowa going all the way. And that's not an unreasonable thing to have faith in. So
right.
So, yeah, I'm all about the women's bracket this year.
Do you have Iowa winning the national championship?
I have to.
I get it. I picked South Carolina, because here's the thing. That way, no matter what happens, I'm going to be a little happy, because I want Iowa to win this national championship, even though Dawn Staley is, I've been reading about her. She's like the best person in sports. She is such a good person.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But at the same time, she's won a national championship. So I don't care if she loses this time. But also, for purposes of the bracket group, it would be good for me if South Carolina wins. Ultimately, I would be happier if Iowa wins. And man, South Carolina is wrecking people in this tournament. They won their first game, and I get that it's South Carolina against, like, Presbyterian, I think.
Yeah. The team. Yeah.
But they won that game something like they scored in the 90s and Presbyterian had like 38.
Yeah. It was ugly.
And they were playing as we started recording this, and they were just curb stomping whoever they were playing. South Carolina is a good fucking basketball.
I think
team.
I have them going Final Four. I don't have my bracket in front of me, but I don't have them going all the way. I made a really dumb decision about one of the games. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
So, yeah, That's also happening.
Sorry, yeah, that's also happening right now. Area.
Lots of basketball, which is what I'm going to go back to doing after we're done recording this. Sweet. Andy, thanks so much for doing the pod. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? AdamTodBrown.substack.com. Go read my writings, and I'll be writing there more in the very near future. And that's all I got to plug. Andy, what do you got?
Well, speaking of what we're about to go do, I'm about to go record an episode of Look Good for the Boys. We have not released an episode yet this year, but we have some coming, I swear. We've just been busy with other life stuff, but we have episodes recorded. We have one fully edited now, I believe, and we're going to actually start releasing some again soon. I am having a short fiction piece published in a zine that's being put out by Weird Punk Books. They're subscriber only zine. So if you're not subscribed to their 2024 subscription club, you won't get it. Well, he gets extras. So I think that some of them might be for sale, but hey, yeah, that's me plugging a thing that it's too late for you to get probably. But if they go on sale, I'll plug them then.
Hey. Yeah, it works. All right, let's get out of here. Andy, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.